Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Lay a little groundwork and then look at some things tonight in the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 is in the middle of a context, but it gets right to the point of our sermon tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." And then he says, "Walk as children of light," indicating that it would be possible to be a children of light but not walk as a child of light. "You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can receive from you those things from the Scripture that you have for us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will, in expounding the Scripture, address the needs of our hearts and minds. Help us, Heavenly Father, to walk as children of light. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, tonight, just, you know, keep your Bible open. We're going to kind of go through and look at some Scriptures. Be good to get a few more on this particular topic right here. But basically what you have is you've got two kinds of people in the world. You've got people that are children of darkness and you've got people that are children of light. People that are children of darkness are people that are lost. And people that are children of light are people that are saved. And you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. And so we're to walk as the children of light. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. A few verses of Scripture that we're going to look at tonight deal with this very subject here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, speaking of us as saved children of God, the Bible says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So when you got saved, what the Lord did is he called you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light. The interesting thing, though, is that when you look around you, you don't see anything different. I have distinct memory of a fellow that got saved one day, and he said, you know, the strangest thing, actually there are two memories of it. One was a man, one was a lady. And both of them said, you know, just a few minutes ago when you were talking to me, it was like there was darkness in this room, and now to me it's like this room is filled with light. Another person said, anytime I'd ever heard the gospel, it was like I couldn't really see it, but today it's like somebody just walked in here and flipped the light switch on. And what's happened, those are just testimonies. What happened to us is we came into his marvelous light. It's not something that you see like the incandescent and fluorescent lights that are on inside of this auditorium. It's something of God. Look in John chapter 12. You'll see what it is. John chapter 12. It's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 12, you know, Jesus Christ in one place says, he says, "I am the light of the world." All right, well, here in John chapter 12, verse 46, he says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." So there's a change. You come out of darkness and you come into his marvelous light. You abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. You no longer abide in darkness. You have his light. Paul gave his testimony. I think I should just read this to you. Paul gave his testimony before Agrippa, explaining what he was called to do. And he said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Paul says to us and turn with me there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You say, well, you're reading a lot of, laying a lot of groundwork here, truthfully, but you know, you read the Bible just like I do. And the interesting thing about reading the Bible is that you read over these verses, but you may not see how many times God says over and over again how we've come out of that darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's going to be over there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the light that's in us is a spiritual light that comes from the glory of God, that comes from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, that is a light that comes from God. That's what's in us. When God said, let there be light, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, He shined that light in an area that was darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Genesis 1, 2, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light that it was good. What did He do with that light? Next. And God divided the light from the darkness. That's exactly what He did. And that's very important. Because if He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, if you were sometimes darkness and now you're children of light, walk as children of light, if God shined in our hearts so that we're no longer in darkness and God divided the light from the darkness, then you know what He's saying to us is He's saying that when you and I get saved, we have to remember where we came from and we've got to go now toward the light and divide ourselves from that darkness. The trouble with Christians oftentimes is, or comes, when they don't divide the light from the darkness. Like it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 we commonly refer to as a chapter on separation. And look how the Lord introduces that topic in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So, anything that would yoke you together with an unbeliever is something that you don't want to be involved in. A business transaction, a business relationship, a marriage, a partnership, anything where you have cross obligations to each other. Don't want to be that way. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Watch it. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And here it is. What communion hath light with darkness? All right. Practically speaking, what communion hath light with darkness? None. If you're like I am, when you go to sleep at night, you know what you want in that room? Dark. All right? And the last thing you want is some light on. Right? And if somebody were to come in there and turn the light on, you wouldn't be happy. Because that darkness can't have communion with light, otherwise you're going to have light. We've got light in here. We want light in here. We want to be able to see what's on the page. Wouldn't be a happy time if the sun set and the storm came and the lights went out. Wouldn't be able to see. So they don't have any communion with each other. And so the Lord is saying, you know, you've got to maintain separation. But the trouble happens when Christians who've been saved out of darkness get drawn back into the darkness. And so what we want to talk about tonight is we want to talk about some places in the Bible where we see things that draw us back in the darkness. And then what we want to do is make note of those things and the converse of those things so that we are not drawn back into the darkness. Or if darkness has crept into our lives because we are involved in these things, that tonight we would recognize the error of our ways and get out of that darkness and walk as children of light. And so you say, well, what is the first thing? How is it that we get drawn back into the darkness? Here it is, by unrighteousness. By the Lord Jesus Christ lays down for us in the Bible, what? A light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. It's the Bible. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. So when you walk in unrighteousness, when you do something that is contrary to the word of God, you know what's happened? Darkness has begun to creep back into your life. It has come back into your light. And what happens is it begins to dim that light. Sometimes people will come and say, I'm really having a hard time knowing what to do here. And I'm not talking about some general counsel where you're dealing with some difficulties. I'm talking about an instance where you should have known what to do because the Bible is so clear on it, but you didn't know what to do. And the reason you couldn't see it so clearly that was in the Bible is because darkness had crept in. See? Darkness had crept in. Generally speaking, we don't have much trouble knowing what is right. We have a lot of trouble doing what is right. And if you've ever been in a situation where you're trying to work an angle on something because you're scared that if it's totally exposed to the light, it's going to perhaps cause you problems, and you're trying to find a way to be crafty and try to be slithery and try to make this thing work out in sort of a difficult situation, you're constantly at unrest, and the problem is there is some dishonesty in that. Now listen. The Bible is absolutely clear. If the thing is in the light and it can be done in the light, then, you know, and it's right according to the Scripture, okay. But if it's not right according to the Scripture, if it doesn't match the light of the Word of God and you're trying somehow or another to be involved in it, darkness has crept back into your life. We see it continually in these situations. I mentioned it already, but where you get young people, they go to school, they don't have many Christian friends there, they would like to have Christian friends there, and they start hanging around lost people, and then they get into a relationship. Now you got a saved woman and a lost guy, or you got a saved guy and a lost woman. They're trying to build a relationship. I'm telling you, you're out. You're out of line with the light, and it is going to, that darkness creeps into that situation. Same way when you're out there and you're trying to find a way to work around, say, man, I think there's a lot of money that can be made with that deal, you know, and I realize the guy's lost, but it shouldn't be really a problem here. I mean, you know, God bless that. I'm going to tithe all that. You're putting yourself in a situation. You're putting yourself in a situation. It's going to be tough. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Look at verses 12 and 13. 11, the Lord says in Romans 13:11, that knowing the time, that now it is high time. I love the way the Bible talks, because it talks like we do. It's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Watch it. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, he's talking to Christians, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Light is protection. And the works of darkness, not protection. What does he say in verse 13? Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. So basically what he says is the remedy for this situation of unrighteousness that's been allowed into your life is to expose it to the light and walk in honesty. What happens when the Lord comes, He's the light. He brings to light the hidden things of darkness. That's what He does. So just think of this now in terms of ethics and integrity and everything you do. Listen very carefully. If there is anything in your life which, if exposed to the light, would look differently than the way you are portraying it now, you are not walking in honesty. You have been dishonest. You have represented something about yourself. You have represented something about that you've written in a way that casts you in a, watch it, better light. In order to improve your circumstances or standing or people's impression of you, but if that hidden thing could be brought into the light, it would expose the hypocrisy or the fallacy or the lie or the strife or the envy or the wantonness or the whatever goes on. If that light would expose it, then you're walking in unrighteousness and you need to change. Honesty is the thing. You go before God and say, God, you know my heart. You see how it is. If other people don't see it the same way, you're not walking in honesty. And you need to change the way you're walking so that what it looks like before God is the same way that it looks in front of the other people that you walk around. That way, if God came to call you on the carpet or the law came to call you on the carpet, the result would be the same. People always want to try to paint the thing in a better light. Listen, when you try to paint the thing in a better light, you're bringing it into darkness, not light. No way to make a thing that's dark look right in God's light. So one of the ways that darkness creeps back in is by unrighteousness. You're being disobedient to something God's showing you clearly not to do. John chapter 1 verse 5. Here's another one. John chapter 1 verse 5. How does darkness creep back into the life of a child of light? First by unrighteousness, and the thing to do is to walk in honesty. Get that thing, I mean, where it looks the same to God as it does to everybody else and the same to everybody else as it does to God. And if you can't do that, quit it. Easy enough. Not hard. All right, John chapter 1, verse 5. This is about Jesus Christ. He is the light, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. All right, if Jesus Christ is the light, and He shined in darkness, what does that tell you about the world in which we live? Is it light or is it darkness? It's darkness. Absolutely. So the world that we live in is darkness. Turn to John chapter 3 and look at verse 19. God, of course, we knew that, divided the light from the darkness. That light of God is on the other side of that body of water. The universe is in darkness. John chapter 3, look at verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. Now you think about people that do wicked and evil things. They usually wait till nighttime to do them. All right. So how does darkness creep back into our lives? By worldly pleasures and pursuits. By worldly pleasures and pursuits. You say, how do you know that? Because the world is darkness. You see, when I get saved, when you get saved, we have been brought out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Well, if after I come out into His marvelous light, I miss some of the things that I was able to enjoy back in darkness, and I turn myself this way to face those things and try to find ways to conveniently enjoy those worldly pleasures, they are going to draw me back into the darkness. That's pretty simple. You say, well, how do I deal with that? Become very familiar with the marvelous light. Become very content with the marvelous light. The problem is when a person's here in His marvelous light, but they are looking back here at the things they used to enjoy of their worldly pleasures, or the things they can enjoy around of their worldly pleasures, they're missing how marvelous the light is here for looking at that. There's so many illustrations, I don't want to draw it out. I believe you get it completely. You know what the thing to do is? Quit looking at all of this other stuff that's around you and start looking at the marvelous light, because in a little while you're going to appreciate how good that light really is, and you're going to look at those worldly things and say, why would I have any desire to go back to that when this is so great? Turn to Luke chapter 11 and look at verse 34. Here's another one. How do I get sucked back into that darkness? By unrighteousness. Well, live in honesty. By worldly pleasures and pursuit. Live in that marvelous light. And learn to really, really become content with how wonderful and marvelous it really is. Luke chapter 11, verses 34 and 35. The light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Oh, that's an interesting thing. What he's saying basically here is there's things that go in that eye that are going to affect your life and the light that's in your life. And so he calls one eye a single eye, and he calls the other eye an evil eye. I've talked about this before, so I'll just be real brief in the explanation to say, what is the single eye? What is that? A single eye is an eye that is focused singly at God. But of course, since you can't see God, here's what happens. A single eye is an eye, listen, that sees what God wants it to see. that looks at what God wants you to look at and looks at things the way God wants you to see them. God, with a single eye, wants you to see the world as a present evil world. See? An evil eye is an eye that has one of two problems. It either looks at something God doesn't want it to see, or it looks at something that God does want it to see, but looks at it in the wrong way. It's a perception problem. Okay? So he says, if your eye is single, it's full of light. Why? Because you're always seeing what God wants you to see, or you're seeing what God wants you to see in the way that God wants you to see it. Light. Because that's what he is. But when you look at something you're not supposed to look at, the stuff you have to close your blinds for and close your door for and make sure nobody else is looking, that kind of stuff, okay? Or you look at things that you should look at, but look at them in the wrong way, now you got a problem. You got a problem. And what happens is darkness creeps in. Well, darkness develops its own appetite. It's like anything else that concerns appetite. Any of you guys that have ever really changed something about your appetite, you used to really, really, really like this. You quit eating it over a period of time. You had a desire for it, and then suddenly you didn't have a desire for it anymore. And now you don't care for it at all. Some of you used to have a real desire for alcohol back in the old day. And you've been saved, and I mean, people could stack it up in your house, and you wouldn't even want to touch it. You have no desire for that at all. Your appetite has changed. All right, well, when you start having an appetite for darkness, the forbidden things, you know what? You want more. And the solution is to develop an appetite for the light. Where do you get that? Bible, preaching, that kind of stuff. Start looking at get things the right way. And after you develop an appetite for this, you won't have an appetite for those things of the darkness. It changes. All right, here's another thing. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, look at verses 9 through 11. How does that darkness creep back in here? Well, by unrighteousness, by worldly pleasures and pursuits, by an evil eye. You got to listen, I'm telling you, you're living in the day and age of technology now, you're going to have to be extremely careful. You can get evil things on your phone. You can get evil things just going to check the news on your website, on your webpage, because of the banners and the things that are down there, or what may pop up on the screen. That stuff's not filtered well at all. There are provocative things that are right there, and you got to be a man. You got to be there on your TV. You're scrolling through looking for something, and bam, there it is. You're sure gonna have to be careful. 1 John chapter 2, look at verses 9, 10, and 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. He that is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness, look what it does, hath blinded his eyes. That's interesting. You would think of light blinding your eyes like it does when you're in the dark and somebody shines a flashlight in your face or takes a picture of you. You know, that you get that blinding. But here he says the darkness will blind your eyes. And what happens? What happens is this. You know, if I ask you to stand up tonight and say, is there anybody you hate? There's not a person in here that would say, yeah, I hate old so-and-so. You wouldn't dare do it. And as far as God is your witness, you look at yourself in the mirror, you don't even believe you do. But the question is, do you love them? Well, he said, I don't really love them. Well, then, okay, that's... Then what's the opposite of that? I mean, we have clever ways of, you know, justifying our impressions and desires for people and stuff like that. So we ought to be careful on this kind of thing. Listen, you know, a bunch of you guys have been saved a long time. You've been around people a long time, and you've seen a lot of things. You have seen blow-ups in the house between husbands and wives. You've seen blow-ups in the house between parents and children. You've seen blow-ups in among friendships of men in business together. You have seen blow-ups in church. You've seen them. You've been around a long time, some of you. And I guarantee you, the day before the blow-up, If you ask the people who blew up if they loved each other, oh yeah. But that's what just trying to talk yourself into something that's not true. Now what he's saying here is, he says, he that saith is in the light. See that? He says he is. And hateth the brother, he's in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in the darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness is blinded his eyes. Now let me tell you something. When a person gets out of whack here, in a relationships, the curtain comes down, and he's walking in darkness. And he doesn't know where he's going, and he doesn't know what he's going to stumble at. Which means, because of that strife or that envy in the relationship, that's what the Lord calls that, he is setting himself up to stumble into something, and he can't see it. Let's say this is a bad sin. Let's say this is a bad situation. Let's say this is a bad decision. Let's say this is a calamity. It's coming. It's kind of like a pilot flying a plane, and he's flying and he's not paying attention. He's not paying attention to his radar and all of his instruments, and he's flying right into a thunderstorm. He doesn't see the thing is coming, and bam, he hits that, and then it destroys the plane and destroys him. Here's a guy that's flying right into that, but he's not paying attention to it because he's blinded by this strife and or this hatred. And bam, he hits this thing, and he goes, "How in the world did this happen?" The problem started back here. Now, I'm awfully careful when we get into areas like this. All I can say to you is, check your own heart. Check your own heart. If there's an area like this that's brewing, come to God. God is love. And say, "Lord, I need help here. I need help here." Because if God is love and God loved this person enough to die for him and all that, he changed your heart. And if he changes your heart, bring you back into the light, and it'll really save you a lot of trouble. You say, "How do we get out of that darkness?" Get in love. Get in love. You don't want to have any of this in your life. Okay. First John, that's where you are, right? Turn to chapter 1, look at verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 5, 6, and 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is how much darkness? None. No darkness at all. That's why he says, if you hate your brother, you're walking in darkness, because there's no darkness in God. All right. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Why would he say that? Because you know what? There are people who say, "Yeah, God and I are getting along fine," and they ain't getting along fine at all. They think they are, because they wouldn't, just like I said, wouldn't stand up. There's not a person who would stand up tonight and say, "You know what? God and I aren't getting along worth a flip," but you may not be. So a guy would say, "Oh yeah, we have fellowship with God," but if he's walking in darkness, he's lying. How would he be walking in darkness? Because he could be in an unrighteous relationship. He could be in unrighteousness. He could be blinded by worldly pleasures. He could be having an evil eye. He could hate a brother. See, any of that stuff will put him in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you think God anticipated there would be times when we'd be walking in darkness and deceive ourselves thinking that we weren't? Yeah, of course he did, and that's why he left the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it's the blood of Jesus Christ that'll cleanse us from all sin. Jesus Christ said, "I'm the light of the world." If you're light, if you're walking with him, and if God is light and in him is no darkness at all, and you're really walking with him, you know what? There won't be any darkness in you. You won't be walking in the darkness. So you say, how in the world then does that darkness creep in? By not walking with Jesus. By not walking with Jesus. You know, there was a time in your life when you, somewhere along your spiritual journey with the Lord, your spiritual life, I don't really call it a journey, it's life. It's not a journey, it's life. Journey sounds like something you get off of after some point. No, not with Jesus Christ. This is our life. There was a time in your spiritual life with Jesus Christ where your prayer time is better than it is today. There's a time in your life with Jesus Christ when your Bible reading was more pleasurable, more beneficial to you than it is today. And you know what that's an indication of? You're not in the light like you were. Darkness has crept back in. And it throws you off. It blinds you to the truth. So you say, well, what's the solution? The solution is when you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, I've taken a spell here from our relationship, but not today. I'm going to get up here. We're going to get that Bible open to get some light coming back in here. You and I are going to walk together and do some praying this morning. And we're getting back on track. I'm going to tell you something you're going to know right away. It's going to be like you had a rheostat in your spiritual life and you just turned it one notch to the right and things got a little bit brighter. You're walking in the shade and you need to get back out into the light. And I'm going to tell you something. If sin is the reason, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If sin is the reason, here's what's going to happen. Right now, you don't know it. You just know it's gotten a little bit darker than it was. It's kind of like dusk or dawn. It's not like high noon in your spiritual life. And you're kind of not real sure about that, and you know you want to pray. So you get in here, you start reading the Bible, and it's nourishing you, and you start praying, and God's really having some fellowship with you, and you feel that joy kindling back in there. And all like that, Friday, Saturday, you get a little more of that, and all of a sudden the Lord goes, hey, by the way, now that we're out here in the light where you can see real good, look at this nasty thing. And you go, woo. Yeah, he said, that deal right there? That's what's been going on. And you're like, whoo, let's get the blood of Jesus Christ on that. And then that light stays up. Sin will do it to you. One more time, Ephesians 6:12. In any of these situations we just talked about where unrighteousness creeps in, worldly pleasure creeps in, the eye goes evil and you get full of darkness, so you get some strife going on between brothers and sisters in Christ, you get not walking with the Lord, you know what you've set yourself up? You've set yourself up for a real battle. Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of what? The darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil gets involved in it. And man, when the devil gets involved in it, he's all darkness. That's his kingdom. It's all darkness. Over there in the book of Revelation, when the devil is in full bloom as the Antichrist, that kingdom goes full darkness. Right before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, now is the power of darkness. And then when Jesus Christ dies on the cross, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Darkness settles in over the earth like that. Man, you got to really, really watch out. Because see, if the devil gets in there and he brings that darkness, it'll blind your mind. And you won't know where you are. He is a spiritual being that is so much more powerful than we are. He's not more powerful than Jesus Christ, but he's way more powerful than we are. And he's also a very, very clever deceiver. He deceives the whole world. When the devil gets in a thing and you think you're right when you're wrong, and you think what you're doing is okay when it's not okay, and you're looking at things the wrong way, but they look all right to you, and you're comfortable in strife, and you're not walking with the Lord, but it's okay with you, and the devil gets in that thing, and you two become a companion, but you don't know where he's going to take you down. The Bible says when you let that kind of stuff happen in your life, and you're not acknowledging the truth where that light really is, then you can be taken captive by him at his will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, and man, you're going to be in a fix when that happens. So the defense, you say, what's the defense? The defense is you stay in the light. Because if the devil is the ruler of the darkness of this world, but you stay high in faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and those kind of things, that'll quench those fiery darts. That'll give you the defense. And because there's so much light, it will dispel the darkness. And because there's so much light, you'll see those things. A whole lot more clearly than you're able to see them when the devil has deceived you. Colossians says that, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and then hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. There's power in that darkness. And man, I'll tell you what, today there are, I believe there are a lot of Christians who have been deceived by the power of darkness. They think what they're doing is just A-okay by God, and I mean, they're just having a wonderful time, and they're 180 out with God, and they can't even see it. It's what's happened is they got a bunch of artificial light flowing in their lives that they think is coming from the Son of God, and it's not. It's coming from the power of darkness. Boy, you and I, we cannot be there. He said, well, if I ever got there, what would be the key? The key is to humble yourself before God, to acknowledge the truth, to get into that Bible, let the light of the Word of God show you that that artificial light is power of darkness and bring you back into a right relationship with the Lord. It's the only way, and I'll tell you what, it's really wonderful. We have people that we are praying for now that we know have been flipped out into the power of darkness. And really and truly, a lot of this stuff has happened in their lives. And I know this, I believe this, from what I've seen here, demonstrated in other people's lives. If they got so far off this beaten path in the power of darkness that they prayed here and asked and got the light coming, God would redirect them, and I'll tell you what, put them back on a path that would bring them right back into the middle of the will of God. But you got to acknowledge, first of all, that you got off track, and it's not easy. It's not easy for people to admit that, unless they want to be totally honest with God, and then it'll help you. So I pray that this has been able to help you to see how to walk as children of light. That's what He told us to do. He gave us some great instruction here, and He also gave us a lot of warning about those ditches that are on either side that are dark but may look like they're light. And I pray God will help us all as we continue to walk as children of light. Father, thank you so much tonight for the opportunity to look in the Scripture. We ask in you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, minister these words to us right in the center of our heart where we need them the most, so that we can be sure, absolutely sure, to get back in there, so that when we say we're walking in the light, we're telling the truth. And we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.